Now more.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Good morning to you, everyone. Welcome to our show. We are now in the fourth week of this extravaganza on a Wednesday, March 28th.
It's still Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning. It's not Michael Riedel and Len Berman in the morning yet.
Why, are you planning a coup, a palace coup?
Yes.
I wonder why you're always sucking up to Natalie in there. You know, you guys are plotting something?
Oh, I've just thrown a few choice Broadway tickets her way lately.
He knows where to get to me.
Bartlett's
what have you done for me lately?
Bartlett got to see a Broadway show. I'm going to set him up when he brings his when his grandson comes to town with some Lion King tickets. I know who to suck up to at this on this show, and it ain't you, Berman.
Yeah, what are you doing for us? What are you doing for us?
Natalie, did you really say, what have I done for you lately? Okay, fine. I'll just leave it at that.
That's right.
Okay. Although I really do like your Christmas basket that you sent.
That's awesome. Oh, that too.
Oh, that was 3 months ago.
That's okay. We look
forward to it. It's a thing in our house now. When is the Berman basket coming?
You betcha. Play your cards right, Riedel.
I didn't get my Berman basket.
Well, you weren't working with us then. If you last until December, which is highly doubtful,
maybe I'll get a Berman basket.
Well, I think Nelly hit it on the head.
No.
I got a tweet from Nelly.
Hold on. Let me set this up, Len. All right. So I was making fun of Len yesterday. I spoke at
The day before, today,
30 seconds
last
ago.
Week.
Yeah. I spoke at the Women's Republican Club
of New York
on Monday.
Was anyone under the age of 80?
No. It's true. They were not. They were your peers, Len, I would say.
Okay.
Really smart, interesting women. A couple of them came up to me and they said, you know, we like your new show, but how can you stand to put up with lefty Len Berman? I can't stand that guy's opinions. And they listen to you, but they're not fans.
Len. More open-minded Republicans, huh?
Exactly.
Really?
So I told Len about this. I said his name came up. You know, not in a nice way, but it did come up the other day.
Right.
And no sooner am I out of the studio yesterday than with glee, Len forwards me this message from one of his listeners.
Well, I just said FYI. That's all. I said that an FYI comes from Nelly. She tweeted me, Len, I can't listen to your show anymore until you get rid of that Michael Riedel. I can't stand his voice. He's a typical pushy Republican Trump supporter who thinks he knows it all and is so full of himself. Watch out for him or he'll take over the show.
She has a point there. But Nelly, if you're listening, and I guess
she's not listening anymore. Yeah.
I can get tickets to Carousel and My Fair
Lady.
So
you bribe your listeners. That's unbelievable.
You want to see a Broadway show, Nelly? Don't go to Len. You got to go to me.
And to you Republican women out there who just don't want to hear another point of view, my only advice is there are lots and lots of radio shows on this station where you can indulge in your right-wing fantasies. Here we deal in reality. We give you both political points of view. How's that for an answer?
You lefty Len's point of view, ladies. Just plug your ears every time he opens his mouth. That's all you have to do when you're listening to lefty Len.
All right. Our big three stories this morning. We lead with the somber funeral for firefighter Michael Davidson. And of course, the first lawsuit is taking aim at Ed Norton's production company up in Harlem.
Yeah, one of the tenants in the building that caught fire has filed a $7 million lawsuit against Ed Norton's production company. Ed was directing a movie there. And in the lawsuit, she's claiming, this woman who was a tenant of the building, that there was highly inflammable equipment in the basement where the fire started. Now, I think this is a frivolous lawsuit. Of course there is equipment in the basement on a film shoot. They have all kinds of equipment. They have lights. They have cameras.
But
they
Michael,
have cables. They have all that kind of stuff. And so far, it has not been determined that the cause of the fire had anything to do with Ed Norton's equipment.
The difference, though, this isn't just a movie set. It's a residential building.
They film movies in residential buildings all the time, Natalie. In fact, they pay them a lot of money to move out to use their apartment.
But these people were not paid. These people were living next door in the adjacent building.
There are all sorts of codes and approvals you have to get from the city film anywhere. And I'm sure that, this is a first-class movie, so they would go through the hoops you have to do to be able to film in and around the streets of New York. I just think this is going to be a lawsuit that'll be dismissed. I don't think.
I hope so, because I would hope that everything has been checked off and was legit.
I've been on those film sets. They are extremely well monitored.
Yeah,
The thoroughly professional people who run these film sets around New York. I do get annoyed when they tell me I can't walk down my street because they're filming there. That ticks me off a little bit, and I just ignore them. I say, I live on this street. I have to get home. I don't care if I'm ruining your shot. And they'll generally let you go through if you bully them a little
bit. Wow. That's what you do. You bully them?
I do. I don't care. I said, I'll be an extra in it. I'll read lines. I'll do lines.
Natalie,
I'll be a character
if you haven't learned, these newspaper guys think they rule the world. They do. They have this power of the pen. They write these little newspaper columns.
Newspaper columns.
And they think they own the world. They can do whatever they want, whenever they want. You can't challenge them.
My Broadway column in the New York Post a little column. Do you have any idea the influence I have over the Great White Way with that column, Len?
So why are you bothering with this little rinky-dink radio show?
Could you imagine, though, not being able to get into your house? All of a sudden, you get to your street. No, sorry.
That would suck.
Could you imagine what Len would do? Forget about it.
What would I do?
If Len couldn't get home for his nap, are you kidding me? He'd shut down all of Hollywood if he couldn't get home for his nap because they were filming on his block.
I'd say, don't you know who I used to be? Also in the Big Three, the president remains uncharacteristically silent on the Stormy Daniels case, tweeting about everything else, criticizes anyone and everyone.
What's he going to say? What's he supposed to say?
Crying Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, I dropped my pants and asked her to spank me. Is that what he wanted to
say? All of a sudden, the guy's mum.
Well, it doesn't much to say on it. He's leaving it to his lawyers, Len, which is probably some wise advice, which he rarely takes. But this time around, he's learning, so okay.
I didn't say he punches back on every single topic. If he did, he would probably be addressing a lot of the stories that most of you write every single minute of every single day. He also has a country to run, and he's doing a great job with that.
That's how I feel. He has a country to run.
I had to laugh, though. I saw Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I saw her deliver that thing. You know, her dress was odd yesterday. She looked like a pilgrim. She was wearing a little black and a little white doily thing. She looked like a pilgrim to me.
It was a good response, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys just...
It's a good response.
Respond and like everything. And rounding out the Big Three, they're at it again. Governor Cuomo wants to know why Mayor de Blasio hasn't been charged with corruption, so these two continue to go at it. By the way, coming up in about 15 minutes, we have Michael's personal Met seats for your pleasure, if you call in, if you're the right number. And coming up in the next segment, I'd say in about 10 minutes, I'm looking forward to this, Bo Dietl will be our special guest. He ran for mayor.
He did.
I'm sure he'll have some very nice things to say about Big Bird.
He's a big de Blasio fan.
Oh, huge.
And I'm sure he's a big Cuomo fan, too.
So Dietl will be coming up next.
But nobody knows the city better than Bo.
Bo is just a character. I just want to know what he does. I mean, Bo Dietl.
You don't, trust me, you don't want to know.
But he took you to Rayo's once.
He did take me to Rayo's. Actually, it's been several years, so I'm going to be angling for an invitation again when Bo comes back on. Rayo's is fun. I've never been. I was going to say, I don't really see you having a shot at going to Rayo's.
Like, why not?
I just don't.
I was invited once.
By whom?
A guy who had a table, and I turned it down.
What was that guy who had the table like?
No. He was a regular guy. He had a friend of ours. He knew a guy.
I'll
tell you the truth. So my friend and I were invited. We said, great. And he said, no, just the guys. I said, I don't want to go just three guys. I wanted to bring the wives.
I went with my girlfriend.
Oh, Len.
I went on Valentine's Day.
Are you putting me down for that?
Yeah.
Really? Sometimes I thought you'd appreciate that I wanted them. I wanted the wife to come too.
But don't you think sometimes it's just, you know, we like ladies' nights out once in a while without the husbands? Isn't that fun?
I don't like hanging around with the guys.
You're not a guy?
They want to talk about sports all the time. got a life.
Wow. I went to Rayo's with Bo. It was Valentine's Day. It was Bo and his lovely then fiance, I believe now wife, my girlfriend, and Frankie Valli and his girlfriend.
You're such a name dropper. It's freaking believable.
And Frankie Valli's girlfriend, I think there's Michelle, her name was. I think
was she a Jersey
together girl? You know where he met her? She was an usher at the theater on Broadway where Jersey Boys was playing, and she would take him to his seats during the early previews.
I take it she's a little younger than Frankie.
A little bit younger. I said, now that you're with Frankie, what do you do now? And she said, I'm still an usher. I said, really? She said, yeah, it's a union job. Why would I give it up?
That's funny. Ooh. Good benefits.
Absolutely.
No, hey, we got to talk about the census and asking people if they're citizens or not. There's a big brouhaha because the census form that's going out is asking people if they're citizens. A lot of people are taking umbrage, saying that if you're not really a citizen, you won't answer, and that will affect how much money comes into your county or your congressional seat. There's a lot of issues here, although
Clinton.
The story came out that Clinton, but Natalie was pointing out that was on the long form, which not everybody gets, not on the short form. So,
here we go. Excuses. When Clinton sent out the sentence, he wanted to know if you were a citizen.
Apparently. But that was supposedly on the long form, right? I don't
Which know. Went to every sixth person. So it was a big win out there.
That was the difference.
Yeah, I don't know. This is not a big deal, and you're trying to make this a big deal because you think, oh, they're going to try to smoke out those illegal immigrants by making a mass.
They say this is going to affect the blue states. But anyway, so a lot of states, including New York, at least 12 states are going to sue, and this is the Los Angeles a California Attorney General, Xavier Becerra.
Given the way that this administration has attacked immigrants, you can understand why immigrant families would be afraid to fill out the census.
Alarmist.
That's a good point.
Alarmist. He's being alarmist, Lynn. He's from California. What does he know? Being alarmist, please.
This latest move by the Trump administration to threaten California is not just a bad idea. It's against the law.
Yeah.
Nobody's threatening California, for God's sakes.
Coming up, looking forward to it. The one, the only, Bo Dita will be our special guest and your next chance to win $1,000 coming up after the news at 9 o'clock right here on 710 WOR. But first, let's take a look at traffic with Bernie Viter.
710 WOR.
And a very good Wednesday morning to everybody out there. It is 8:24. Coming up in just 6 minutes at 8:30, I am going to be giving away my personal pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Phillies April 2nd. So get by the phones. You're going to give us a call at 1-800-321-0710. 8:30 on the dot. My tickets could be yours.
Very good. And don't call now. Wait
don't
six
call
minutes.
Now. Wait six minutes. You wait. We can wait. And those 6 minutes are going to fly by, though, because our next guest is a good friend of mine, my old pal, Bo Deedle. Good morning, Bo.
Good morning, Michael, and congratulations. You're the best there is, and I wish you the best of luck with Len there and your show, and I'll be a listener. Thank you.
Wait a second.
We want you to be a guest, too, Bo. We love you.
The best he is at what?
Well, Michael is one of the most intelligent men I've ever met.
Really?
And he's pretty astutitious to a lot of issues, not just Broadway. He's a very, very groomed person as far as intelligence goes and knowing the facts. That's important.
He's hidden it pretty well so far.
Shut up, Len. Hey, I was telling Len, Bo, my girlfriend still remembers that great night when you were our host up at Rayo's at Valentine's Day, and it was you and your fiance then, and Frankie Valli and his girlfriend, and Christina was thrilled to be at Rayo's, thrilled to meet you, and remembers the beautiful flowers that you gave her for Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Well, that was beautiful. And like I said, Rayo's is a magical place. I've been going there since 73. We lost Frankie Pellegrino, the great owner of Rayo's. And it's not the same without him, but we just move on. Matter of fact, we're having a little something with Frankie's Alley, I think, on next Wednesday. Having a little dinner thing going on. So he's a great guy. He's still singing. He's still performing, and it's great. Let's get off the entertainment stuff. Let's get right down.
Get to it, because you ran for mayor, came up just a little short.
I voted for you, Bo.
But I know you're a big supporter of what the mayor's doing now, and the fact that the governor thinks that he should be brought up on charges. And your thoughts?
Well, all I could say is I named him Big Bird, and the last debate on CBS was the best with Maurice Dubois. And when I had my last end 60 minutes, I go to him, you know, Mr. Mayor, I've been a detective my whole life. And I know a criminal when I see one. And you're a criminal with your pay for play and your corruption. The guy's face dropped. I go to shake his hand at the end of the debate. He walked away, and I did curse at him, and I called him Big Bird. My whole point here is this. I only ran for mayor for one reason. I despise this guy. I despise his lies, and they're coming out as we're watching every morning, reading in the paper about what's going on with Mangano over there. This is the same person that Sydance let off the hook. This is the same Sydance that won't go to Arizona and lock up that fat pig there, Weinstein, Harvey Weinstein. They got all the goods on it. He's blocking that. And it's just funny to me, and I'm going to give you some facts. Ben Brofman is the lawyer for Harvey Weinstein. One of his partners works there, is married to someone in that DA's office in the sex crimes. I talk, and I say right now on your air, Sydance, own up to it. Lock up Harvey Weinstein. You have the evidence. Lock this fat pig up because he raped women. He's a sexual predator. He's a garbage can. Let's take him out. The other one was Sydance felt as though he didn't want to prosecute the mayor. All the information there, the same witness now, this Indian gentleman, whatever his name is. There,
Singh. His name is Singh. He's singing out in the Mangano trial. Yeah.
Yeah, he's singing right now. But they also had those other two guys. The other guy, two guys from Brooklyn. I mean, everyone paid this guy. They gave him these straw funds. What straw funds means that you get people to put up money, and you give them the money, and you make believe you're raising it. These are crimes. These are felonies. If Bo Dietl did that during my campaign, they watched me. Everything I did, I dotted the I's, crossed the T's. But this bum gets away with it. And right now, he's laughing at everybody. He has his eyes on a bigger prize. I don't know what the bigger prize is because he has done nothing in this city as far as taking care of the city. He's just giving it all away, and there's a big, dirty little secret. There's so much unfunded pensions that people are not going to have pensions in 10 years from now, in 15 years from now for the city if they don't get their arms around these pensions. And everybody just keeps thinking you keep on spending, you keep on spending. Eventually, like Social Security, if we don't get our arms around this, there's not going to be any retirement for people.
Yeah. You know what drives me crazy about our mayor, Bo, is that he doesn't want to lead the city. He wants to lead the progressive movement to sweep Trump out of the White House. He'd rather be down there in South by Southwest in Austin with all those granola-crunching commies leading them in rallies against Trump. He doesn't want to lead this city.
You know, that's exactly an issue that, you know what? I'm a person who carries a gun. We all know that. I'm a retired cop, a lot of cops out there. If my mother or my wife or whatever makes a complaint of domestic violence against me, immediately they take my guns away from me without an investigation. My point is what happened in Florida was not the gun that killed the people. It was this psychopathic kid with 39 domestic violence reports. The FBI, everyone got it. They said he should be put in, taken into custody, incarcerated to school. Here's what we should be working on. We should be working on so these things don't slip through. So if you have a person with problems, we should know about it. These are parts of it. Also, with that said, NRA's got to lighten up a little bit with the backgrounds, federal backgrounds, with the waiting period, buying guns. We could tighten this up. In 2017, I'm coming out with an op-ed today. In 2017, approximately 36,000 Americans were killed by guns. Of that, approximately half of them were suicides. The other half of 15,800 of them were people with 9 out of 10 of them were illegal guns. These are stolen guns. 10 states in the United States, only 10 states, if you get your guns robbed, that you have to report it. We could tighten up. The NRA's got to back off a little bit and start to realize we've got to loosen up a little bit because the NRA's going to go right into the ditch unless they loosen up. I'm about to take my AR-15, saw it in half, and say, you know what? I don't need it, and I don't want anybody to steal it.
Good for you, Bo.
That is news from Bo Dietl. Bo, you are the voice of reason. I agree with you completely on the NRA. Bo, good to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care, my friend. Bye-bye, Bo.
Bye-bye.
And guess what? It's now your chance to win my personal pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Phillies on April 2nd at Citi Field. Be caller number 17 at 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. Be caller number 17. And you're the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets. And now let's go to Joe Bartlett with the news.
All righty. Well, Bo Dietl talking about guns there. The president tweeting a pledge for the Second Amendment this morning. The president tweeting the Second Amendment will never be repealed. This after retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens made the suggestion in an op-ed. The White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders not denying report the president wants to spend money from the Defense Department budget to pay for his border wall. According to the Washington Post, Trump is telling lawmakers that wall is a national security issue.
That's not legal, though, right? Doesn't it have to go back to Congress? Can the money that's appropriated to the military, doesn't Congress get to weigh in on that?
Don't get bogged down in the details there.
No.
Really? You're going to just take that military money and tell them to go build a wall? Really?
It's a national secret. It's like building a tank.
Oh, boy.
The City Department of Investigation says the NYPD Special Victims Division is understaffed, not well-trained. Report says they have only 67 detectives and a caseload of over 5,000. But Police Commissioner James O'Neill is pushing back here.
Each complaint of rape we take seriously when we fully investigate each and every one of them.
And by the way, NYPD says these investigators never even talked to the top police brass. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy expanding the state's medical marijuana program. Len, you qualify now. Beginning immediately.
Why, what do you have to have as an ailment? I'll tell you if I qualify.
Anxiety.
Nah.
A migraine.
Well, that used to be, but now I'm fine.
Tourette's syndrome.
No.
What else? Tourette's syndrome. You nailed it. You just nailed it.
What else? Keep going.
Chronic musculoskeletal.
Not yet. All right, keep going.
Visceral pain.
No. Right.
How about drooling? No.
But you're still eligible.
We will have a medical marijuana program that is compassionate, that is progressive, and that at long last meets the needs of patients.
Yeah, there you go. Y'all all come right. And have some pot.
Well, fine. Okay.
And a new study has determined the best sing-along car song of all time.
What do you mean by sing-along car song?
Oh, let's try
song?
To guess this. All right.
What do you mean by sing-along car? Is it a car commercial?
If you're in the car, what you'd like to
people
sing.
Like all right, to sing.
Here's what I would say. I say a little prayer for you.
What would you say? I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche.
Yeah. How'd you know that?
No, that's not
the song, you idiot.
This is Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's Bohemian Rhapsody. Oh. I say a little prayer for you
is Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, that's the number. Well, now, this is a British survey. 26 million drivers were surveyed, though. Second, I'd prefer this, Living on a Prayer, Bon Jovi.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I thought what's the one at the end of Something About Mary?
Proud Mary?
No, the song, the movie Something About Mary, where they're all singing at the end. I'll
say a little prayer for you. The moment I wake up.
Fill me up, Buttercup.
That's it.
Buttercup.
How about this one? Any ABBA songs in there? Dancing Queen.
But Sweet Caroline is third.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
ABBA Dancing Queen is four, and Don't Stop Believing by Journey 5.
Ah, thanks. That's not a bad. I love to sing when I'm. You know, my song, my girlfriend and our song when we drive is. That's what friends are for.
Oh, what? This is sappy.
Beyond Warwick
yes!
Overload.
Sappy. Sing along.
Good times and bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore. I love that song.
That's what friends are for.
Should the Second Amendment be repealed? A former Supreme Court justice thinks it is. He just wrote something in the New York Times about it. We want to know, do you think the Second Amendment should be repealed? Give us a call here at 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. That's coming up next. Plus, your chance at $1,000 is coming up at 9:05 on 710 WOR. But now let's check in on traffic with Bernie Biden.
Morning, everyone, at 8:41. The question in front of the meeting here that we're convening.
Is this a meeting to repeal the Second Amendment, Len? Is this a constitutional convention that you are calling this morning?
Welcome to the convention. John Paul Stevens, former Supreme Court Justice, had an op-ed piece in the Times, repeal the Second Amendment. He says concern that a national standing army might pose a threat to the security of the separate states led to the adoption of the Second Amendment, and he now says that concern is a relic of the 18th century.
Just what like you.
Well.
Sorry, Len, I couldn't resist.
What do you think? Second Amendment? Do you agree with Michael Riedel that lefties just want to get rid of the Second Amendment?
Yes,
I take umbrage at that.
By the way, I applaud Justice Stevens coming out and saying candidly what a lot of liberals think in their heart of hearts, but will never say, that you want to get rid of guns? Get rid of the Second Amendment.
Well, what do you think? 800-321-0710. You want to repeal the Second Amendment? You think that's a good idea? Or do you think that's just what the lefties want? 800-321-0710. Let's get your phone calls right now. Do you think they should repeal the Second Amendment? Do you agree with the op-ed piece written by John Paul Stevens in the New York Times this morning?
And now, you think all the lefties secretly want to repeal that Second Amendment? That's what I think they're all up to. But hey, quick congratulations to Terry Brustowin, the aptly named Terry Brustowin, because Terry did win my tickets to the Mets and Phillies game. And Terry, congratulations. Terry's from Fresh Meadows, and we will see you, Terry, at Citi Field.
Very good. And, of course, tomorrow is opening day. Michael and I will be there. And, if, by the way, if you missed any of our interview with Mickey Callaway, the brand-new Mets manager, we'll replay some of that interview for you in about an hour.
I really like Mickey.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah. Big day for him tomorrow.
So you really think in your heart of hearts that that's what the left wants?
Yes, I do. I do. I really do. I think they don't want to come out and say it because it's so controversial and it turns off a huge part of the country to talk about repealing the Second Amendment. But I think that that is the ultimate goal that the left wants. So give us a call if you think that too. 1-800-321-0710. Weigh in. Weigh in on the Second Amendment repeal.
All right. Let's. A lot of you want to weigh in. Let's start with Barry in Yonkers. Hey, Barry, what's up?
Good morning.
Good morning, Barry.
I just think it's a false argument because it'll never pass three-quarters of the states. So it makes for great headlines and a great editorial, but it's realistically never going to occur.
Interesting, because John Paul Stevens makes the case that he says this will be easy to do. I tend to agree with you.
We've had less than 30 amendments in over 240 years. So if it was that easy, it would have happened many more times than it has.
All right. Thanks, Barry. Appreciate the call.
Let's hear from Jerry in Stamford on line four. Good morning, Jerry.
Hi. I think if you don't like my country, love my country, and you want to change the Constitution, you can take the first plane trip out.
Wait a second. You mean it's un-American if you want to? If you think you can improve things? Why is that un-American?
What we have that is good in this country is our Constitution. And once again, you don't like or love our country, bye-bye.
But, Jerry, it was set up with the Founding Fathers that you can repeal amendments. There's a process in place, and some amendments, like Prohibition, had to be repealed. So I do think, you know, we got to have the system set up for when an amendment is no longer good, we should have the Constitutional Convention to discuss it and kick it around.
Checks and balances, no matter where you go in this world, but... I'm still sticking with what I said.
All right, Jerry.
All right, thanks, Jerry.
I don't happen to think that if you're opposed to guns, that means you hate America. All right, let's try Joe in Butler, New Jersey. Hey, Joe.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good morning, Joe.
Good. Definitely should not be repealed.
Why?
Well, I think it was George Washington, but it was somebody that said that the Second Amendment is what gives the Constitution its teeth.
Really?
I think it's George Washington, but don't hold me to it. Somebody, one of those fellas said that.
All right. Well, thank you, Joe. Let's hear from Jeffrey on line seven in Brooklyn.
Yes, my opinion is that if you get rid of the Second Amendment, then how about the First Amendment and then the rest of the amendments?
And then the whole Constitution.
Right. So it's just a slippery slope that he's just treading upon that he's not really he's trying to just erase America.
And make it in his own image of a left-wing judge from the bench.
I don't know. All right. Thanks. Appreciate the call. How about Robert on Long Island? Hey, Robert, you're up next.
Good morning.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Len.
Good morning, Robert. Good morning.
The Second Amendment basically was created to protect us, the people, against tyrannical government.
Correct.
And the left definitely wants to get rid of the Second Amendment because this is the only way they can take a full control of us. Definitely not get rid of it. We need it. It was there. It was put there for a reason, and we need to keep it.
The tyranny of the left. That's what we got to look out for. Hey, let's hear from Mike in New Hyde Park on line six. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Love the new show. I agree with Michael 100%. The manner in which that the left insinuates these arguments is very slow and insidious. They're very patient. Who thought 15 years ago we'd be talking about transgenders in the military? They're very patient. They've been working on it for decades. It's a realistic goal of the left. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate the call. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
I really, in my heart of hearts, don't think it's a goal of the left. I know it's not a goal of mine, but you don't trust me for some reason.
No, you're brainwashed.
I'm brainwashed? Meaning what?
You're brainwashed. You're brainwashed.
We can do a lot better with guns, Riedel. We can do a lot better, and we can keep the Second Amendment, but just do better.
The left wants to get rid of the Second Amendment. That's the ultimate goal, Len. That is the ultimate goal.
I think I want to get rid of you. Coming up next, Roseanne Gets Political. Wow, this was interesting. The hit TV show, and she's a Trump fan.
Yeah.
So we're going to play some cuts from the show. Very interesting. Coming out of Hollywood. How about that one? And your next chance at $1,000 coming up at 9:05 on 710 WOR. Right now, Bernie Viter with Travis.
Good morning, everybody. Coming up at 8:54 here from our studios in Tribeca, 710 WOR. Hey, Len, were you a fan of the original Roseanne show, Roseanne Barr and John Goodman?
You know, I never really watched the show. It's not that. No, I remember when Roseanne first came on the scene.
She was funny. Stand-up comedian.
The very first time she was on Johnny Carson.
Oh, really?
They introduced her as like a housewife from, I think, Denver.
I think so, yeah.
And
yeah.
They just introduced her as a housewife, and she dressed all schlumpy and came
on.
And she was terrific.
Yeah. Very funny.
I never really watched the show that much. Obviously, she had the whole national anthem dust up, so I can't say I'm the biggest fan.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen her stand-up routine. I was in London once, and she was doing stand-up, and she was terrific. It was about 10, 15 years ago, but she was really, really good. I watched Roseanne originally, the original one, a few times here and there. I wasn't hooked on it the way I was on some other shows. But Roseanne is back. Roseanne reboot. It aired last night. Now, Roseanne Barr herself, the real Roseanne, is a Trump supporter.
Yeah, she voted for him.
She voted for Trump. She admits that. She's an out-and-out Trump supporter. Yeah. And the character, Roseanne, that she plays in the reboot of the sitcom is also a Trump supporter, though family members were Hillary supporters, and that's the drama in the series, the tension between Roseanne and her sister.
Her sister,
played by Laurie Metcalf, is a wonderful actress.
Jackie is the character's name.
Oh, no, wait a second. Yeah, I wanted to ask Natalie about this, because Natalie did watch many of the original Roseanne.
You were a Roseanne fan?
No, but wait a second. Didn't John Goodman die at the end of the run?
He came back to life, just like in all good sitcoms and soap operas.
He's back. Right, you know, Bob Newhart. It was just a dream.
It was actually one of the first jokes of the opening scene that kind of touched on the fact that he was still alive. So that was kind of funny.
Now, what did you think of the original series, and how does that change from this?
It had the same feel. And what I thought was really interesting is that I thought it would be strange to see them older. And it wasn't. It was oddly comfortable. I was okay with
seeing
them. Heavy
set people age well, apparently.
Well, know what?
To tell you the truth, John Goodman and Roseanne actually look better now than they did in the original series.
You know, Will and Grace.
I love John Goodman, by the way. He's great.
Will and Grace has done a great job in their comeback. I've watched some of those shows, and three of the four characters almost look like they haven't changed at all. Deborah Messing looks a little bit older, but the other character, now it's been a good reboot. Now, is this piece of audio from that bit in the beginning, Natalie, when he was supposedly dead from the last time? All right, here we go.
Daddy! What happened?
I thought you were dead.
I'm sleeping. Why does everybody always think I'm dead?
You looked happy. I thought maybe you moved on.
Yeah, so they were lying in bed together. He had one of those CPAP machines on, so he could breathe at night. Yeah. So that was kind of funny. And they're still the lovey-dovey couple that they always were. I mean, they always had kind of a passion for each other. That's still there. The kids are still in the same character roles, but now they have kids. And their kids are now part of the series, too. One moved home, one lost a job. And it's believable that Roseanne is a Trump supporter.
Is John Goodman, is he a Trump supporter, too, in the show?
I believe so. It wasn't as apparent as it is for Roseanne's part to be.
Right.
But, you know, she said, hey, because her sister's like, why? How could you? How could you? Because, you know, I needed jobs. We need jobs. And obviously, you know, they were always just making it by and never really quite getting there in financial terms. So she was like, I needed somebody. I needed somebody who told me there was going to be a job.
I find this refreshing because, you know, Hollywood is always accused of being anti-Trump and lefty Democrats. So this is refreshing to have a show that that shows this side of it. And, of course, the arguments between Roseanne and her sister.
And Jackie thinks every girl should grow up and be president. Even if they're a liar, liar, pantsuit on fire.
There you go. Some right there wing.
Some sharp writing there, the new Roseanne show.
Hey, everybody. This is the first dinner together we've had as a family in a long time. Let's try to survive it.
Oh, yeah. First, let's say grace. Jackie, would you like to take a knee?
they were bringing them all out there. Very current.
Very cute.
And, you know, it got pretty good reviews, too. I was looking at the reviews in Variety, the New York Times. They seemed to like the reboot.
What's up, deplorable?
So who was calling who the deplorable there?
Oh, that was Jackie walking into the house calling Roseanne.
Okay.
Knee still giving you trouble, Roseanne? Why don't you get that fixed with the new health care all you suckers got promised?
Whoa, snap!
It works good enough like to kick one. Your ass, snowflake.
Snowflake. And it is a live audience, so now you're getting some really good reaction there. Right.
So they're laughing away. There's an interesting, rather testy interview with Roseanne in the New York Times, written by Pat Healy, a reporter I know. And he asks Roseanne, considering that Trump opposes many of the principles that you and Roseanne Connor have stood for, how can you support him? And she says, no, he doesn't. I don't think he does. I think he voices them quite well. And then Healy says, well, what about abortion rights, same-sex marriage, labor protections? Then they start to get into it. She says he doesn't oppose same-sex marriage. And all of a sudden, her press agent, a representative for Ms. Barr, injects, you don't have to get into this. We can move on. So they cut Healy off midway through his questioning of why Roseanne favors Donald Trump. It's a very tetchy interview. It's kind of fun.
Here's some dressing for the table.
Oh, look, Dan, Russian.
Some cute lines.
That may be the best joke. That may be the best
some
joke.
Some cute lines there.
I'll watch it again. I'm giving it another try.
Yeah, cool. Right. Hey, a good guy with a gun doesn't always stop a bad guy with a gun. And is President Trump pulling his punches when it comes to Stormy Daniels? All that is coming up. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 after the 9 o'clock news with Joe Bartlett.
This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. On this Wednesday, still a little chilly out there for my tastes, Len. I'm hoping that spring is around the corner, especially for tomorrow, since you and I are going to be at Citi Fields for the opening of the Mets Cardinals game tomorrow. What's the what is it? Is it going to be somewhat warm? Is it going to rain a little bit? I don't
know. According to Ray Stajic at the Weather Channel, we've got showers in the morning, then cloudy in the afternoon. High of 53.
That's not spring weather.
It's going to be a little warmer on Friday. I think it's going to get closer to 60, but at least it's in the 50s. It's much better than the 50s are always better than 40s, sir. And by the way, we got a great interview with the Mets' new manager, Mickey Callaway, who was nice enough to join us the day before his big debut as a big league manager with the Mets.
If you missed
the interview, we're going to repeat some of it coming up in about half an hour at 9:40.
Now, here's breaking news that's never going to happen on CNN. Stormy Daniels' lawyer wants to depose Trump and his lawyer.
Why not?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Yeah. Not gonna, but it's breaking news on your network, Len. CNN.
Why do you keep calling? I told you.
CNN has been airing nothing but for the last 48 hours, but Stormy Daniels. That's all they have been discussing on CNN. Every time I turn it on at night, it is nothing but Stormy Daniels.
I didn't say he punches back on every single topic. If he did, he would probably be addressing a lot of the stories that most of you write every single minute of every single day. He also has a country to run, and he's doing a great job with that.
He's running the country. Hey, by the way, you want to hear that lawyer? Yeah. He was on CBS this morning.
We want the truth. I mean, we want to know the truth about what the president knew, when he knew it, and what he did about it. As it relates to this agreement, we're going to test the veracity or the truthfulness of Mr. Cohen's, his attorney's, statements. And we're confident, Gail, that when we get to the bottom of this, we're going to prove to the American people that they have been told a bucket of lies.
What is the big point of this? All right, so they had a one-night stand. Big deal. This is something that the American people must know if Trump was telling the truth about having a one-night stand with Stormy Daniels. What's the big deal with this, Len? I mean, this is your network, CNN, is all over.
Stop saying it. That. My network is iHeartRadio. That's my network, and I bleed iHeart red.
Do you think that this is some way to take down the president? Some way to get him to force him out of office? This one-night stand with Stormy Daniels where she allegedly spanked him?
I think you're being overdramatic. The real issue is why was she paid $130,000, and did that violate election laws?
The other side is attempting to force this case into a private arbitration hidden from the public where the public doesn't learn what really happened. In order for the judge to determine that, we are arguing that under the law, we're entitled to the deposition. Quite honestly, there was a mistake by the other side in pushing this case into federal court, and now we're going to bring it to bear.
That's what they're saying. You know, they did bring it to federal court from state court, and now he's trying to stick it to him. So
the campaign violation is potentially Trump's lawyer paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 that could be considered a campaign contribution to keep her quiet during the election. It exceeds the limit that you can give to a candidate. But then on 60 Minutes, when Anderson Cooper was interviewing some campaign finance expert, he said if Trump has reimbursed the guy, then it's not such a big deal anymore. So I think, what are they going to do? They're not going to impeach Trump because of it. Maybe there's a fine for election violation or something like that. This is a nothing story. This is about Stormy Daniels wanting to get out there and make more than $130,000 for her story about spanking old Donald with a magazine in which his face appeared. That's all this is.
You got something against capitalism, too?
That's not capitalism, Len. It's called exploitation.
Ah, okay.
All right. Also in our big three... sad story here in New York. The funeral yesterday for Michael Davidson, the 37-year-old firefighter who died in the line of duty last week of that terrible fire in Harlem. He was laid to rest yesterday at St. Patrick's Cathedral. His family was there, his widow now, sadly, Eileen, and their four children, Brooke 7, Joseph 6, Emily 3, and Amy 1. And there's a picture, Len, in the post today of a fireman giving Emily Michael Davidson's hat with a badge number 69 on the front of it.
Well, his brother, who's also FDNY, Eric Davidson, spoke, and it was such a solemn and heartbreaking thing. And, you know, always in these cases, you know, a relative can get up there and just add a little bit of context and levity to the proceedings.
I'm never going to get to celebrate a Mets or Jets championship with my brother. But then I paused and quickly realized that we could have lived till we were 100 years old. And still probably not have got to see that happen.
Ooh. Mets and Jets fans.
Maybe not, though. Maybe not. Maybe not. Mickey Callaway seems pretty positive on how the team is going to do this year.
They did get to the World Series a couple of years ago. Yeah. They do have a good pitching staff. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought the brother spoke very eloquently. You have a little bit more of the brother, I think, there?
We'd also like to thank the city of New York and the FDNY for the amazing job they have done over the past few days for taking care of our family.
But also he talked about, being a hero.
In May of 2003, when he joined the FDNY, Michael became a hero of the people of New York City. But to me, Michael has been my hero my entire life.
Brother Eric,
yeah. De Blasio, the mayor, was there. All the firemen came, and I was interested to learn that... firemen from around the country, a delegation from a number of fire departments from around the country come to funerals.
Well, the police do it all the time, too. But it was really, if you saw the crowd and, of course, the firefighters all lined up, it really just brings a lump to your throat.
And a lot of New Yorkers on their way to work stopped by, too, just stopped to attend the funeral. Absolutely. To pay their respects to that hero, Michael Davidson, 37 years old, died in the line of duty. And, of course, now there's a lawsuit. One of the tenants in the building where the fire was is suing Ed Norton's production company. Ed Norton was making a movie there, and in the $7 million lawsuit, the tenant says that there was highly flammable equipment in the basement of the house. We'll see where this lawsuit goes. So far, nothing has been determined. Nothing has linked up the equipment to the starting of the fire. Some people are saying it could have been a boiler or something like that. So I don't know. It sounds to me that there's a lawyer out there.
You betcha.
Who sees a big fat Hollywood target out there, and let's go after Ed Norton and try to shake him down for some money.
Just someone else picking on the left. That's how it works. Yeah. Pick on those lefties in Hollywood.
And rounding out our big three, De Blasio and Cuomo are at it again. These two guys absolutely cannot stand the sight of each other. Out of nowhere yesterday, Governor Cuomo says, well, you know, that those allegations that Mr. Singh out there in Long Island funneled some illegal campaign money to De Blasio, and De Blasio said no, investigated, cleared of the charges. Cuomo says, he should have been charged. That's a direct punch in the nose of the mayor.
Did he say this?
I'm not so sure. He just making the rounds where he's grandstanding as usual, and just comes out with this.
Well, that seems kind of inappropriate to me.
Well, what's behind it, I think, is Cuomo is furious that De Blasio has urged and is supporting Cynthia Nixon. To run against Cuomo in the Democrat primaries.
So why doesn't de Blasio come out and say that there should be charges against
Cuomo? Give him time. It's still early in the day. I'm sure today he's going to come out. He's going to say what Cuomo's got his corruption
problems.
Well,
he had the Prococo friend, and he also has this project in Buffalo that's been under examination. He also shut down the Moreland Commission.
Yes. Oh, so that was the big thing, the Moreland Commission. We're going to investigate all the corruption in Albany, and then it starts to look at him. So maybe let's turn it off.
Yeah, maybe the mayor will turn it around and say, investigate Cuomo. It's unseemly. It's not a party thing to me. It's just the governor and the mayor really need to get down in the gutter like this. I don't know.
Never bothers me when Democrats are at each other's throats.
For some reason.
Never bothers me. Hey, I remember that horrific Maryland high school shooting where this kid, Austin Rollins, shot his girlfriend. He shot another guy. The other kid lived, but unfortunately the girlfriend did die.
Yeah.
There was some question about whether or not Austin Rollins, the gunman, was brought down by a school resource officer by the name of Blaine Gaskill, because Blaine was there with his gun. Some question, did he shoot Austin Rollins? But no, it has been determined that Austin Rollins shot himself.
Well, you know, it was the narrative that the good guy with the gun stopped the bad guy with the gun. Not necessarily true, but however, maybe when this kid saw that the guy had a gun, that's when he shot himself. Yeah, yeah. So maybe just of a gun.
I do believe you've got to have people who are trained in the use of firearms, security guards, resource officers.
Don't tell me teachers.
I'm not going with teachers. I don't go all the way for teachers, but I do think you have to have, you know, cops, former cops. They got to guard the schools now, Len. I mean, this rash of shootings is something, unfortunately, we have to live with. You've got to protect the kids.
Well, you can give them the bucket of rocks like they do in Pennsylvania.
Stupid superintendent who suggested that.
By the way, speaking of guns, I don't know if you've been following the Baton Rouge case. This was really a big one where a gentleman by the name of Alton Sterling was shot and killed by two Baton Rouge police officers in 2016. They had him down on the ground, tased him. They said that Alton Sterling was reaching for a gun, and they shot him several times while they had him down on the ground. Quite controversial. Well, no charges filed. The Louisiana Attorney General said that the officers acted in a reasonable and justifiable manner. So that touched off Black Lives Matters.
Oh, they're going to be furious.
And they're upset again today. The real problem here is that he was reaching for a gun.
He
wasn't obeying orders, and you put those two together.
That's a recipe for the cops to get out a gun and take you down.
It's going to be very difficult to prove that case. Now, I understand the other side. They say, well, why is it always a black guy? But this was not an unarmed black guy, and he did apparently reach for his gun. So,
no, the DA looked into it, and these officers did what they had to do to protect themselves in the line of duty. So
no charges.
I don't think the Black Lives Matter is going to get much traction on this one, Len.
We'll see.
Hey, an Uber driver takes a wrong turn, and it is some wrong turn. You're not going to believe where he ended up. And we'll talk to ABC correspondent Aaron Katursky, who's at the auto show, which I love the auto show, the New York International Auto Show. I go every year, so I want to find out from Aaron what the fancy new cars are. That's coming up next. Plus, your chance at $1,000 is coming up at 10:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in on traffic with Bernie Vider.
WOR.
Welcome back, everyone, at 9:24, coming up at around 9:40. If you missed our interview with Mickey Callaway, the new Mets manager, we'll have some of that for you as Michael Riedel tries to pin him down as to what his starting lineup will be.
I almost got him. Almost got him.
Smacked you down.
He knows how to handle the press.
He does. Now, before we get to the Uber story and the New York Auto Show, I just wanted to button up because we were talking about Cuomo and de Blasio, and you were salivating over the story that Cuomo is going after de Blasio and wondering why did prosecutors give him a pass? And I was wondering, where does this emanate from? And I found it in your newspaper, by the way, the New York Post. Apparently, Cuomo's senior campaign advisor, Sarah Payden or Padden, I'm not sure how she pronounces it, told the Post the governor doesn't know why the prosecutors gave the mayor a pass on his bribery. Now she's referring to what's going on in the Ed Mangano trial,
which has become the Bill de Blasio trial.
It really has. Mangano's on trial for corruption, and this guy Harendra Singh, who's singing, he's the key witness against Mangano and his wife and Vendito. So what's going on is that the what he testified yesterday, what Singh said yesterday, is that he had clear and unambiguous conversations with de Blasio about making illegal contributions to his campaign, that the mayor ignored repeated warnings that what they were doing wasn't kosher.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He absolutely said that. And also...
And Cuomo was wondering why de Blasio got a pass on this.
What's going to come back from de Blasio is how come Cuomo got a pass on Joe Percoco being found guilty. And also there's an upcoming corruption trial involving Cuomo's signature Buffalo Billion Economic Development Program. So stay tuned. This one isn't over yet.
No. All right. That fight is going to simmer.
Quickly, that Uber story. And you got to go look at this picture on our website. An Uber driver was just following directions on the app. And decided to go down a flight of stairs. That's all. So the Uber car is stuck on a complete flight of stairs. It's very funny. This is in San Francisco. Go check out the picture.
What, it said go right and go down the stairs?
Yeah.
Is that what Siri said? Take a right?
Yeah.
GPS said take a right and go down the stairs?
The Uber driver identified as Fred was Fred was driving two passengers. Was going to pick up a third, made a wrong turn, and what happened was instructed him to go down the stairs outside a pedestrian sidewalk near a Safeway supermarket. It's just stuck on the stairs.
It's a shortcut. He was taking a shortcut. That's all. He was taking a shortcut. So you can see it. It's the photo's funny. And 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. That's our website. 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. And look at Fred. The Uber driver.
Very funny.
On the escalator.
Picture of the day. Speaking of cars, Michael Riedel's excited by the New York International Auto Show. I can't remember the last time I was there. This is the 118th year. Aaron Katursky, ABC News correspondent, is on hand. Aaron, is there all kinds of cool stuff there? What's going on?
Yeah, hey, Len. I think that the trend that's emerging has been clear in the auto industry for a little while now, but really seems to be solidifying here, and that is the preference that drivers have for compact SUVs, and they're turning away from sedans. And you can look at some of the new reveals that we're getting today, a Toyota RAV4, a new Aviator from Lincoln, a new XT4 from Cadillac, the two American luxury brands going head-to-head in small SUV segment. And I think you get the sense of what drivers want to drive these days.
And I understand, Aaron, that the Corolla hatchback has made a return.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a perfect car for, you know, the streets here. You know, small, get a little extra room perhaps for your stuff, but still a good car for urban mobility, a big buzzword at the auto show as manufacturers focus on autonomous vehicles, semi-autonomous vehicles, electric vehicles or more fuel efficient vehicles. Those are all sort of here to stay, even though when gas prices are relatively cheap and stable the way they've been, Americans get back into their old habits of wanting to drive trucks and SUVs.
Yeah. We're on with Aaron Katursky, ABC News, at the International Auto Show. It's at the Javits Center. Don't they usually trot out some James Bond cars or some kind of really unique offbeat kind of things? Any of that?
Oh, there is a beautiful Ford Mustang. I'm not sure James Bond ever drove a Mustang, but it was just a gorgeous Mustang that smacks you square in the face when you walk into the showroom floor by Ford. And there's a couple of other cool. Porsche has a couple of new ones that look really nice that come with the requisite price tag. And but really, I think the manufacturers are trying to entice drivers with a kind of practical vehicles. A lot of manufacturers are here to roll out either, you know, new compact SUVs or even a couple of new sedans and, cars that get you from here to there without, still loaded up with technology and USB ports, but nothing terribly flashy.
But, Aaron, I always like the Rolls Royce and the Bentleys. There got to be a couple of good Rolls and Bentleys.
Well, those are, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't often sit in a Bentley, so it's always nice to be able to.
That's how Len gets home, Aaron.
I know.
He sits in the back with Jeeves driving him in the front, though.
Pretty much. Yeah. All right, thanks, Aaron. Thanks. Hey, when is it open to the public? Is that Saturday?
Opens Friday to the public.
Tomorrow? Oh, Friday.
Tomorrow, yeah, absolutely.
I knew the date, the 30th. Right, tomorrow's okay. Opens Friday to the public. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it. Aaron Kutursky, right, ABC News correspondent.
How's the leather smell in your Bentley these days, Len?
Not bad. I thought, is that what it was?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's just a car. You know, it's got four wheels.
Bentley is not just
gets
a car.
Gets me home. All right. Time for latest news headlines. I can't even, so you want to predict the market? I can't. I'm.
Come on, Lennon.
Must be up a little. I don't know. I'll say up a little.
I say up.
Up a little. Up
a little. I got one. Once.
The Dow is up 58 points at the moment, 23,916 after losses yesterday. The S&P is up a fraction. NASDAQ still down 29 points. A man described as a violent deportee is on the loose after escaping from custody at Kennedy Airport. The unidentified man was being escorted by ICE agents from one flight to the other when he escaped and fled in a taxi. Flyers at Kennedy a little on edge.
Unsettling, you know, as we're getting ready to leave for vacation. I don't know. They can't control everything, but it is scary.
The guy was previously arrested on a weapons charge. President Trump remains quiet about the porn star Stormy Daniels and her claim of a one-night stand. The White House press secretary, Sarah Sanders, saying the president has already denied the allegations.
Just because you guys continue to ask the same question over and over and over again doesn't mean that we have to keep coming up with new things to say. We've addressed it. We've addressed it extensively, and there's nothing new to add to this conversation.
There you go. Enough said.
Are you listening to what she's saying, Len?
No, I was actually, I was just bemused. This is nothing new, but
he's thinking about his Bentley.
No. CNN is doing Stormy Daniels. Fox is doing Sanctuary Cities. It's just nonstop.
At least they're doing something important on Fox. Former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort has asked a federal court to throw out the 18 criminal charges against him brought by special counsel Robert Mueller. His attorneys claim Mueller exceeded his authority investigating Manafort's financial dealings, charged with laundering $30 million in money from a Russian-friendly political party in the Ukraine. Manafort claims the acting attorney general allowed Mueller to investigate matters that didn't arise from the original investigation.
What's going on there?
May have a point. Facebook rebooting its privacy settings, making it easier for users to delete individual posts, contacts, and ads. This in response to the recent revelations that Facebook users' information was being used by political data mining companies. Pressure mounting on the Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg to testify before Congress. The stock down another 5% yesterday.
He is testifying, isn't he?
I believe so.
He was silent there for a while.
I don't think he is the best face to put on this whole thing. It just doesn't seem, you know.
Well, they're going
to
beat him up.
Is he going to wear his T-shirt in front of the congressman up there in Washington?
Wear a clean T-shirt. Yeah.
Well, that would be very strange. I mean, he can't go to Congress in a T-shirt.
He doesn't go. He only wears a T-shirt wherever he goes. Have you ever seen him in a suit and a tie? I've never seen him in a suit and a tie.
Finally, the Yankees are being warned by Major League Baseball after images of their players were imprinted in beer.
What?
Sold at the stadium. Yeah, you could see images of the players like Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton in the foam of the beer.
How do you see that?
Wait,
it's a trick. I mean,
Is this like people think they see
Mary
in the windows?
The images are there. You could see it.
Okay.
You
know,
they're deliberately.
So why are they warned?
Because Major League Baseball doesn't allow active players to be involved in advertising or promotion of alcohol.
Oh,
okay. The beer was on display at a media event this week, and MLB said stop. The Yankees say the beer with the players' faces will not be available during the regular
season. They're allowed to promote steroids and illegal drugs. Just no beer.
No beer. Can't be beer soaked.
All right. Thanks, Joey B. Have a good day. Coming up, Michael Riedel put Mickey Callaway's feet to the fire. What's his starting lineup tomorrow? Find out when we return. Plus, your next chance is $1,000 coming up at 10:05. Right now, Bernie Viter with traffic.
And a very good Wednesday morning to you at 9:41. Opening day tomorrow at Citi Field, Len. You and I will be there to cheer on the Mets. It's going to be fun.
Well, it is going to be a good time. And if you want to come say hi, we normally go on with Pete McCarthy. They set up a WOR broadcast booth.
Wow.
outside the stadium. It's in that vicinity where you come off the train. Where the subway takes you right there. Great way to get to the game.
Yep.
Seven line. Get off the subway of the Long Island Railroad. You come down the steps. We're usually right there on the left. And
taking your tickets.
Yeah.
I'm selling hot dogs.
Come by and say hi.
Len's pulling the beer.
You can meet Riedel. He'll give you free tickets to Broadway shows. And no, he won't. But come say hello.
I'll give you advice on what to see on Broadway.
And we'll have that. And by the way, I just want to tell you, we're going to play some of the Mickey Callaway interview that we did earlier.
Yeah.
And I had said that you put his feet to the fire about the starting lineup. What happened was Michael did ask him, well, what does your lineup look for tomorrow? And Mickey said, nice try. I want to tell the players first.
So he, he's
blew you off.
He's pretty good at handling those tough questions from us sportscasters.
So we cut that out of the interview.
Exactly. But hey, but let's listen to what Mickey Callaway has to say about tomorrow's opening day.
You know, we're ready to go. And I'm a little anxious, mainly just to get out there and see what the guys can do. You know, I feel like our spring training prepared everyone to go out there and do their job. And, you know, I'm really excited about getting out there and showing our fans a solid baseball team that's going to go out there and play the game the right way.
What were you most impressed with by the team during the spring training?
You know what, just really who they are. And everybody just wants to win baseball games. Because, you know, I came in and our coaching staff came in, and we're going to ask some different things out of these guys than they've probably been asked to do before. And everyone to a man just said, you know what, I'll hit wherever, I'll play wherever, I just want to win games.
Can you give me a specific thing you want out of these guys?
Win.
You know what? The one thing that we want is to go out there, play the game with respect, play the game the right way. And if we do those things and we're fundamentally sound, we're going to be very good because we have the personnel.
Mickey, I know in spring training, and I know how the players, you know, it's some of it's a grind. I know it sounds like fun in Florida, but they don't. You know, some of them go through the motions a little bit. You don't play nine innings. You don't have your A team out there at all times. Are you saving some bullets, so to say, in your arsenal? Are there some things that maybe you'll be doing that you really haven't shown so far in games? I mean, you know, fans with maybe more speed, more stolen bases, more hit and run, stuff like that.
You know, I think we want to be selectively aggressive when it makes sense. But we have a team that can hit some homers. We have guys at the bottom of our lineup that are fast, that can steal some bases. You know, and I think if we put all their strengths to use, then you're going to see a really good baseball team out there on the field. You know, spring training is kind of tough because guys aren't playing nine innings. And, you know, half the spring they're playing five or six. So, you know, you're kind of like, oh, man, what are we doing here? But, you have to take care of them. They know what they're doing. We have a lot of veterans. You know, the younger guys played a little bit more, which they needed to. The veteran guys, they got in, got their work, and got out. And you have to rely on them to let them know when they're ready. And that's what we did, and everybody feels in a really good spot coming in.
We're on the air with Mets manager Mickey Callaway. And I know, Mickey, you're such a team guy, but I want you to, if you can, a little bit address the fact that you're making your managerial debut in New York City, full house, Citi Field. If you could share some of your personal thoughts.
You know what? It's gonna feel real good to me, obviously. You know, my parents are coming. My family's all going to be there. So that'll be a neat moment. I think that by the time the first pitch is thrown, I'll just be focused on the game, hopefully. But, you know, I am a team guy, and this is a team game, and I'm just really excited to go out there and accomplish something special with these young men we have.
Hey, Mickey, before you run, Matt Harvey had a good spring and came out saying we expect big things, and, you know, you got Syndergaard tomorrow, and he looks to be in great shape, and you got DeGrom and Mats. I mean, you could have a pretty solid pitching staff. That's going to be the key, obviously.
Yes, it is, and they are in a really good spot, both physically and mentally. Now, things can always change. You know, you can't control everything, but we can do everything we possibly can to prepare on a daily basis to have them as physically ready as possible and as mentally ready. And I feel like Dave Island did such a good job of that this spring with all of those pitchers. And if they stay healthy and they stay out there and attack the zone the right way, their stuff is going to play. And we're going to have a really good team. So we're really looking forward to that.
All right. Well, Mickey, not to add to the pressure on you tomorrow, but Len and I are going to be there. So we expect you to deliver the goods.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, you know what? With that added extra pressure, that's going to be tough. But you're going to be a fun ball game, that's for sure.
You really put the pressure on him there, Rito.
I did. You can hear the full Mickey Callaway interview at our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael.
And go listen to that because he blows off Michael Rito pretty good when he asks him about the starting lineup. So
that's all right. That's
do that. And by the way, Pete McCarthy tonight on the Sports Zone. As you, I'm sure, know, the Sports Zone is on every night here on 710 WOR between 6 and 9. He's going to have Mickey Callaway. He'll have a lot more, obviously, in depth, some good baseball talk. So check out the manager, who seems like a really good guy. He'll be with Pete McCarthy on the Sports Zone later tonight.
It's going to be fun tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it.
Opening days are always great. I know, you know, listen, it's kind of like a Broadway opening.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a debut, as we call it in the theater.
Well, everyone's up. Everyone's excited. Everyone's optimistic. It's always a sellout crowd, and historically, the Mets always win opening day. So I hope you don't screw it up tomorrow, Rita.
I'm not going to jinx it. Don't worry, Len. Hey, bath time isn't working out for your kids and the rubber ducky, the dirty ducky, we should be calling it. And this clown is not clowning around. You're not going to believe what office he's going to be running for. That's coming up next. Plus, your chance at $1,000 is coming up at 10:05 on 710 WOR. But now let's go to Bernie Viter with traffic
in the morning
on 710 WOR.
And coming up on 9:54, which means in 6 minutes, Mark Simone will take over the airwaves. And here's a story that should come as no surprise, but well, it's kind of our icky story of the day.
Oh, rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you.
You're going to be shocked.
That's Ernie.
Turns out that it's not rubber ducky, it's yucky ducky.
Eek.
They've been, rubber duckies have been studied by the Swiss Federal Institute of Aquatic Science and Technology.
Oh, my God.
And they have found that these rubber duckies are havens for nasty bugs and dirt and grime. In fact, the bacteria found included Legionella and Pseudomonas aeruginosa. That's a bacterium that's often implicated in hospital-acquired infections. Are you kidding me?
How about Salmonella? Don't you get that from uncooked poultry?
Salmonella.
You didn't have to have a study for this. You could have asked any mom, because what you would do after, you know, bath time is you would take all the little tub toys and you would squeeze them out because you tried to get the water out so they didn't have standing water. And sometimes really gross black stuff would come out.
Ew,
and then you knew.
I saw on the television this morning they cut the duck in half at the laboratory and there are these gross brown and green and black specks inside.
If you don't believe it, we do have it up on our website. You can see the videos of what's inside that rubber duck in your tub. So you go to 710WOR.com, Len and Michael.
Yeah, that'll be a good start to your day. Don't look at it before you have breakfast. So, hey,
rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond.
We need to change the song.
I know.
You make bathtub, lots of visiting the emergency room.
You make me sick, rubber ducky.
All right.
Hey, here's one for you, Len. A woman was arrested for making lewd comments to the Easter Bunny.
What?
54-year-old Ohio woman was arrested Saturday afternoon for allegedly making lewd comments Easter Bunny.
She said, you blank like a bunny?
No. She said, break my eggs, Harvey.
What?
Her name is LaDonna Hewitt. She appeared to be drunk when she made these lewd comments to the Easter Bunny while she was having her picture taken with the bunny at the Richland Carousel Park.
Why?
She then began riding the carousel. I guess that's better than riding the bunny. Her speech was reportedly slurred and her eyes were bloodshot and her breath smelled of not Easter eggs, but alcohol. And she was arrested and charged with copping a field.
What?
in bunny land.
Why would they let an adult woman go on the lap of the bunny in the first place?
She was grabbing the guy?
There's a kind of a...
I thought it was just lewd comments.
No. She did not grab him. She was making lewd comments.
You made up the grabby part.
She grabbed it. She
I thought the grabby part was the interesting.
She squeezed his tail and pulled his ears.
Could you imagine, though, standing online with your children in their Easter outfits and you're ready to get on to take a picture, and there's an adult woman in front of you ready to take a picture too.
Slushed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stroking the bunny's ears. So there we are. And now here's another one. I love this one. So, guy named Steve Lowe.
Yeah.
He wears his red nose with pride when he is campaigning for a seat in Congress in South Carolina. That's because Steve Lowe is a clown. He's a professional clown.
Hang on. This is going to be a clown. In government?
Another one. Okay, there's going to be. But this one is the real.
There?
This one is the real clown.
Ah.
He's a real Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey clown. Now Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey is out of business, so he's got to find a new job. And what better job for a clown than a seat in the House of Representatives?
I think it's perfect sense.
He has an absolutely terrific campaign slogan.
Really?
And the slogan is, aim high, vote low.
That's
really? The slogan,
really?
Yes.
Cute.
And you can rub his nose, too.
All right, here's my favorite one. She was arrested. This lady, this is in Illinois. This is in Shiloh, which is a village about 20 miles east of St. Louis. Police were notified outside a convenience store. A lady was locked out of her vehicle and was struggling, but they were a little suspicious. And police showed up. It turns out the vehicle that she was trying to get into was a stolen vehicle. So they arrested her for possession of a stolen vehicle. But wait, there is more. Her honest-to-goodness name is Liberty Bell. 35-year-old Liberty Bell. So the headline is Illinois police cracked the Liberty Bell case.
Oh, there you go. That's cute.
That's kind of cute.
That's cute. Crack the Liberty Bell case.
And you, your buddy Andrew Lloyd Webber tonight?
Yes, NBC Tonight is going to air a tribute to Andrew Lloyd Webber featuring songs from all of his shows. Glenn Close is going to be on it. John Legend will be on it. And Lin-Manuel Miranda will be sitting down with Andrew. That is tonight, 10 o'clock on NBC. And Sunday night, live broadcast from studios here in New York City, Jesus Christ Superstar, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice's great musical with John Legend and Sarah Bareilles. Oh. I'm going to be going with Andrew the broadcast.
You're going with Andrew.
I'm going with Andrew and his lovely daughter, my friend Imogen Lloyd Webber. So if you're watching the broadcast on NBC, look for us cheering on.
I'm sure they'll show.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
They'll show Andrew Lloyd Webber. Will they show you?
Well, I'm gonna do one of those things, you know, where like you
lean in.
I'm gonna selfie bomb the broadcast.
All right, that's it for us. We're off to opening day tomorrow. You and me, Riedel.
It'll be fun. I'll see you.
Behave yourself. We have a big show tomorrow. Of course, the Mets broadcasters Howie and Josh will join us. We'll be joined by a Met player, Alice Stockton Rosini, will be at Citi Field. And if you want to come say hello to Michael and me, we'll be on with Pete McCarthy at about 11:45 outside Citi Field, where the Subway and the LIRR let off. So come by and say hi. Mark Simone's coming up next. Thanks for listening, everyone. Your next chance at $1,000 coming up after the news at 10 o'clock.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.